David Mackereth here, about to go out to work, hence the attire, but I'm simply so encouraged by the response to my previous video. One lady wrote that we need to be careful about which political party as Christians we follow, and the reason being that both sides give you the same, they're both controlled by the same interests, and I believe this is absolutely true. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors involved in the way the world is run. All things are leading up to the consummation of all things. The consummation of all things is that day when the clouds of heaven will be rent asunder and the Lord Jesus Christ, or the heavens will be rent asunder and the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed on the clouds of heaven, as the lightning flashes from the east to the west. And Christians cry out, Maranatha, Maranatha, we want to see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're weary of this world. We're weary of its rebellion against God. There are things we love in this world, but nothing wants us, nothing stops us from wanting to see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are they, said the Lord Jesus, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. If you are looking for righteousness through political parties, through the world's political systems, be it democracy, dictatorship, monarchy, whatever it may be, you're not going to find it, because these things only come from God. And unless the leaders of our land, unless the rulers of our nations submit themselves to God, submit themselves to his word, then quite simply, there won't be righteousness. There are restraints, it's true. There are restraints such as law, which has to be laid down, laws against murder, laws against stealing. Although if we have a new communist global order, then all the stealing will be going on by the state. There'll be no private property. There'll be no homeowners or anything. This is how it looks in the Great Reset. Now, as Christians, we shouldn't be surprised by these things. We should be willing to take what comes, but to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ at all costs, because the Lord Jesus is, his kingdom is not of this world. And Christians are living stones being built into that edifice that the Lord Jesus himself is in the business of, or in the is currently constructing. That makes me a living stone, and I'm very thrilled and very happy to be a living stone in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not going to be fitting in with this world. We're not going to be fitting in with its orders and its relaxations and its modus operandi, the way it does business and all these other things. We're going to be different, and in these days we should stand out more and more. Christian, are you standing out from the world around you? If not, why not? I'm reminded of the Church of Ephesus in Revelation, and over many years I've become accustomed to hearing people saying we're living in the days of the Church of Laodicea. That's a particular theological approach. But I have felt more and more that, more often than not, the thing that I've seen more than anything else is that we've left our first love, that we've forgotten the person, why we're here. And in the UK at this time, it just seems to be the church just seems to be disappearing. Churches are going. I used to meet many Christians at work, but I hardly meet any Christians now ever. I used to have many more Christian contacts than I have now. And you could look to churches and say, well, in such and such a town, that's a strong church and that's a strong church. But this is going. There seems to be no strength left. There seems to be nothing that can withstand the onslaught of the godlessness and the unbelief that is all around us. Now, but I'm wearing a hat, by the way, because it's cold. Sorry. This godlessness all around us. And the Word of God says, strengthen the things that remain, the things that are about to die. Which means to encourage the people of God not to give up hope, because God is sovereign, because he reigns. Which means to encourage the people of God to look to Jesus Christ and to keep looking up to him at all costs, in all circumstances. Some of us have things which can't be put into words. They're so grievous. They're so deep. We couldn't talk to anybody else about them. But we can talk to Jesus about them. The Lord Jesus has a listening ear. The Lord Jesus understands. The Lord Jesus knows what we're going through. I want to come back to that church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. You have left your first love. You can have a church like in the church of Ephesus, which is so organized, which is so well known, which is so faithful to the word of God in many things. A church that is so active. A church that defends the truth. But a church that doesn't love its Savior, because it started to love itself more than the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember. We need to remember that it's all about Jesus. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about what he has done. It's all about who he is. It's all about the exceedingly great wealth and riches of his mercy, of his love to sinners, what Jesus Christ has done for me, that despite my sin and all its wretchedness, Jesus took it to the cross, became sin for me there on that cross. So if my heart has grown cold because I am a very well-respected church member, for example, but God looks at my heart and he sees a fire that's gone out. He sees coldness where there should be warmth. He sees love for the establishment, but not love for the Lord Jesus Christ, his son. Then perhaps he's about to remove our candlestick. He said that to Ephesus. The Lord Jesus said that to Ephesus. You can do all of those things. You can be faithful in doctrine. You can be faithful in church, government, and administration. But the Lord Jesus is about to remove your candlestick. Every single one of us as Christians need to sit down, and we need to count the cost again of what it means to serve and follow Jesus. Not to serve Jesus is unthinkable. Some of us are about to suffer great persecution. Some of us may forfeit our lives. Some of us aren't used to that kind of level of serving God. But that is what he calls us to do. We're called to be salt and light. We're called to go out and love the world. We're called to love sinners. We're called to go out and be those who will tell people what they won't find anywhere else. And if you don't love Jesus, you won't be doing that. The love of Christ constrains us, compels us to go to those who are lost. Now, and I'm probably speaking to somebody at least who here is a very well-respected church member, but your heart is cold and you know it. And I've gone through many times of coldness in my own heart. I'm not setting myself up. I dread coldness of heart. I dread that it might be found in me that I don't love Jesus as I should. I'm not saved by loving him. I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by what he did on the cross. But I dread a life of coldness towards him, a life that doesn't desire his glory more than anything else, a desire to love him, to value the work that he has done more than anything else in this world, more than my family, more than anything, to value the Lord Jesus Christ. I love my family, but I want to love the Lord Jesus Christ more, because of what he has done for me. Ask God to fill your heart with his love. Ask God to pour out his Holy Spirit on you afresh. Ask him to put Jesus first in your heart and in your life. Some of us have such comfortable lives, some of us don't. But we've got ourselves into a nice neighborhood. We've got ourselves into a nice setup of how we live, how we go about our daily lives. And all of this is going to be broken up by two things. The first, it might be broken up by a new political order. That certainly is possible. But the second thing is it might be broken up by us coming back to Jesus by saying, I want to serve Jesus more than all things. I want to make him known. I want my light to shine. And I'm willing to suffer opposition, and I'm willing to suffer embarrassment for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think, you know, looking at things, I think that there are so many of us who would be willing to give ourselves to be put to death for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we wouldn't be willing to talk to our neighbor about him because we'd be embarrassed. But Jesus, in Acts, says to his disciples, doesn't he? He says, you'll be my witnesses first at Jerusalem. Some of us are willing to go to the ends of the earth, but we're not willing to go to the people in our own towns and our own offices. We need to be those who go out and speak about the Lord Jesus. If we're not motivated by the love for God, or the love of God for us, which comes first, if we're not motivated by that, we won't do these things. But if God sheds his love abroad in our hearts, then we'll be like the Apostle Peter, won't we? We cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. Such great things. Such wonderful things. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that God, he so loved the world. He gave his son. He sent him for sinners like us. I imagine myself, I was converted on January the 1st, 1982. I'd been a student at St. Andrew's University, and I imagine myself not being converted that day and going on blissfully ignorant of the gospel, laughing when I heard Christians having a successful career, plenty of money in the bank, nice family and everything, and dying in ignorance, standing before the throne of God. No, there's nothing in this world that compares to knowing Jesus Christ. There's no other way of salvation. There's no one else who could possibly deliver us from our sins. It's only Jesus Christ. And we tend to minimize what a great thing this is. We become cold. We become hard. We can become indifferent to the things that once moved us. We need to come back to the Lord. Christianity is about knowing Jesus Christ. Christianity is about worshipping God the Father through Jesus Christ, being adopted into the family of God. Christianity is about a daily walk which is supernatural because we cry out to God to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Again, looking at the churches and the situation we're in, I often feel that one of the biggest problems we have is that at some point, God, who had been present with us in power, for whatever reason, left the building. And when that happened, we turned to every kind of resource which we could, excuse me a second, sorry, every kind of resource that we could possibly use without his presence. We turned to drama, we turned to all kinds of things, because God had left the building. And rather than fall on our faces and cry out to God to return to us, we found that we could get along very well without him. Well, we can't get along without God now. Unless he returns to us in power, unless he restores his presence to us, unless he pours out his Holy Spirit on us, we're looking at the complete annihilation of the gospel in our nations. That's how I feel about it, although God has preserved and kept a remnant for himself. But we need to cry out to God. We need a supernatural religion. We need the love of God in our hearts, shed abroad in our hearts, compelling us to make him known. We need to get our priorities right. As Christians, we don't belong to ourselves. We are not our own. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. That's what Romans tells us. And to be the Lord's is what I want to be. I want to belong to Jesus Christ. And if I'm a slave, then I want to be a slave of Jesus Christ. That is sweetness itself. A bond slave of Jesus Christ. That, to me, is what I want my life to be. I want to follow him. I want to serve him. And oh, how ashamed I am of the times when I haven't done this. How wretched I've been. How cold-hearted. How worldly-minded. How foolish. How corrupt. But Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, my Saviour, still loves me. He won't leave me. He won't forsake me. And as I submit myself to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will make it clear. He'll guide and direct me. He'll make straight paths for my feet. But oh, this question of love. Do you love Jesus Christ? You're a Christian. Your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah, your sins are forgiven. But do you love Jesus Christ? Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on us. Fill us with a love for him so that we see him in his glory in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Glorify him in us, Lord, and not out of any sense of grudging duty, Lord. But Father, cause us to serve and follow Jesus because we love him. Pour out your Spirit upon our holy church, upon your churches, Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon your churches and fill us again with a burning zeal and desire for your glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit on church officers, on pulpits, Lord, on the people in the pews, that we might once again be thrilled, that we would speak to one another not about the things of the world, but that people would want to talk about what the Lord Jesus has done for me today and what he is doing for me, because every day the Lord Jesus Christ is doing great things for us. We don't always see that, we don't always acknowledge that, but every single day the Lord Jesus Christ is doing great things for us. Please, let's return to our first love. Whatever happens in the UK, in the United States, wherever we are, let's return to our first love. Let's put Jesus Christ first. And if we find that we have cold hearts, let's cry out to God to change our hearts. Let's seek him to fill us with love for the one who first loved us. We want to be salt and light in this world. God has so many times, you know, we're praying that God would send somebody to do something that we should be doing ourselves. We want an expert. We're quite happy to pay somebody else to preach the gospel in our pulpit, but we would not go and talk to our neighbors about the Lord Jesus, and they will perish in their sins. We need to be changed. We need to be changed by the Holy Spirit. And we need to return to our first love. And if we do that, whatever happens politically, God will use us for his glory. And that's what we want. Amen.